Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, the 15th edition of the annual Global Peace Index report, which measures global peacefulness, was released today. It revealed that the average level of global peacefulness deteriorated for the ninth time in 12 years in 2020. Overall, 87 countries improved in peacefulness, whilst 73 deteriorated. To find out what exactly those numbers mean and to put it in context, we're joined now by Steve Killalea, founder and executive chairman at the Institute for Economics and Peace. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
So let's start off and just put this in context, Steve. Perhaps you can tell us, what exactly is the Global Peace Index? What do you look at and why?
So the Global Peace Index now, we've been doing it for 15 years, so we've got good long-term trends. And what we do is we cover 163 countries and independent territories, and that covers about 99.7% of the world's population. And the index uses a definition of peace called the absence of violence or fear of violence. And that's very, very important, because that then determines what type of indicators you're going to have. So those indicators now are divided up into three different domains. So the first one's internal safety and security. The second is ongoing conflict. And the third is militarization. They all come together to create the index. And so we've also got an expert panel which advises us on which indicators to use and also the weighing for those indicators as well.
Now, Steve, it has been an unprecedented past 18 months with the global COVID-19 pandemic. Can you talk us through the impact that that's had on this year's index? To what extent has that contributed to the findings this year? And where are we? How did we score in the latest, the 15th edition of the Global Peace Index?
Well, it's a COVID-19 had both some positive and some negative impacts on the index. But if we look at the index overall, 87 countries improved, 73 deteriorated, but the size of the deteriorations meant that peacefulness globally actually decreased. And what that says is that it shows that it's much easier to fall in peace than it is to improve. So if we look at the deteriorations, they were driven mainly by violent demonstrations, political instability, and increase in militarization. However, those deteriorations were offset by some positives. So deaths from internal conflicts and the number and intensity of internal conflicts actually improved. But more strikingly, and I think more positively, terrorism now improved for the sixth consecutive year, with something like 115 countries improving on the index in 2021.
Now, Steve, I know we're going to get into the economic impact of violence later on, but perhaps you can give us an overview of who were some of the best and perhaps worst performers and why.
Sure. If we look at the index and we go to the top, we find Iceland's number one. It's followed, and it has been for the last 15 years, highly peaceful place. Followed by New Zealand, number two, then Denmark, Portugal, and Slovenia. If we go to the bottom of the index, we find that Afghanistan is right at the bottom. Second from the bottom is Yemen, followed by Syria, South Sudan, and Iraq. Iraq's interesting because if we went back 5 years ago, Iraq was the least peaceful country in the world. And this year, it had the second biggest improvement.
We're speaking with Steve Killalea, founder and executive chairman at the Institute for Economics and Peace. So, Steve, maybe you can tell us, where's Singapore on the list? I understand that we moved five places.
Sure, yeah. So this year, Singapore came in 11th. So it's what we would describe as a highly peaceful country. But that's a deterioration of five places. But in saying that, the deterioration was very small. So around this part of the index, it's very, very tightly banded. The reasons Singapore fell was because of slight increase in political instability, then an increase also in military expenditure. So we find that things like the military expenditure as a percentage of GDP increased, as did weapons imports, and as did the size of the armed personnel within the country. But this was just 1 year. I think quite often it's better to look over a 15-year trend. What we find with Singapore over the last 15 years, it's actually improved 11 places. Mm. It's improved in all of the three domains, which I mentioned earlier on. So that's militarization, ongoing conflict, and internal safety and security. The areas where it had the biggest improvements were in terms of incarceration rate, the availability of small arms, the homicide rate, and it also had improvements with its relationships with its neighbouring states. So all in all, although it's down a little bit this year, it is tightly banded around that area. And also, I think the 15-year trend's more important at this point.
And speaking of that 15-year trend, Steve, you've shared with us Singapore, looking at Singapore on the back of the past 15 years of the index. Talk to us about the wider index trend, because, you know, it's no surprise that the past year's score was lower on the back of the pandemic, but the score's been trending lower for the past 15 years as well overall, hasn't it? Maybe you can share with us why.
Yes, no, look, that's correct. So if we look over the past 15 years, 86 countries improved compared to 75 which deteriorated. And again, what it shows is when countries deteriorate, they deteriorate much faster than they improve. So 15 indicators deteriorated over that period of time, and it was across a broad range of indicators while we had the other eight improve. So things like levels of terrorism, violent demonstrations, intensity of conflict, number of refugees, levels of global incarceration, political instability, they all deteriorated. However, on the positive side, there were some which did improve. So commitments to UN peacekeeping, that improved. But a lot of that was on the back of the increased conflict we've seen in the Middle East over in North Africa over the last decade. Homicides globally have improved, probably other than South America and Latin America. And also militarization has improved over that period of time. So if we look over the last decade, it was been almost continuously every year, the levels of militarization globally decrease. But it does look like that trend has changed. So if we go back the last 2 years, we can see there's a change in the trend. So this year, militarization was up in many more countries than it actually deteriorated in.
So what are some of the key trends and concerns that you see going forward? I mean, I know violence was highlighted in the report as well.
Yeah, so if we're looking at going forward, I think there are two key trends which we need to keep an eye on, and possibly three, but we'll hit with the two initially. So the first is the rising geopolitical tensions. We can see that reflected in between Russia, the EU, also Russia and the US. Then there's rising geopolitical tensions in the South China Sea, also across the strait between Taiwan and China and between the US and China, and particularly as it spills over into trade. So these geopolitical tensions, I think, in some way are underlying the increase in militarization. I think the second key trend, which we can see, is there's been a rise in violent demonstrations globally, and we'd see this as sort of something bigger. So we'd see this as something bigger, more like a civil unrest. And so this is a 10-year trend now. So if we're looking at violent demonstrations in the last decade, they're up 244%. Now, what we can see with COVID-19, that is a fueled increase in political instability and demonstrations. So if we're looking globally in 2020, there were 15,000 demonstrations, and there were 5,000 violent events related to COVID, either the lockdowns or the measures put in place through COVID. So now, COVID is going to affect the economic performance of a number of economies over the next few years. The economies which can cover the best, the ones which are least likely to suffer from civil unrest. But I think for a lot of the other economies, particularly the ones which get ravaged and find it hard to come back from the COVID lockdowns, I think they were likely to see increases in political instability, violent demonstration and civil unrest. So I think that's the other trend which we've got to look at. And if we look at it globally, although what we describe is COVID or the economic impact of COVID-19 as a multiplier effect, there are a number of other things which were around, which were underlying this rise in violent demonstrations and civil unrest, which we're seeing globally. And so there's a need to really address those underlying issues. Some of them is the fractionalization within societies, it's rising perceptions of corruption globally, group grievances have been on the increase as well. And in many countries, what we can also see is that there's been a deterioration in working conditions and also in some societies that the levels of pay and remuneration. And these things are the underlying causes which fuel into these increased civil unrest.
Now, Steve, before we went live, we were talking about, you know, the economic impact of some of these key issues that you've mentioned, because we are on Money FM after all. Perhaps you can share with us, I know that there are some key statistics and numbers highlighted in the release. For example, the economic impact of violence increased in 2022, I think it was 14 or just over 14 trillion. That's equivalent to 11.6% of the world's GDP, or about $1,942 per person. Can you talk to us a little bit more about those numbers and some of the economic implications of the key threads that you study and you look at for the index?
Yeah, so if you look at it, those numbers are startling. So it was about $14.9 trillion, or nearly $15 trillion was the amount. And as you said, that's 11.6% of global GDP. That's a stunning amount. And that's probably conservative, because we can only count what we can count. My personal estimate is it could be up to 50% higher. So what we've got is 18 different domains which we count to arrive at this number. The areas where the most money gets spent is on the military. That's about 40% of the model. And then the next one is the internal security. And so that covers things like incarceration, policing and other costs like that, cost of the courts and such. And that comes to about another 25%. Now, just to give you an idea of how big these numbers are, if you could get, now no one can actually imagine a world which is totally peaceful, but we can all imagine a world which is, let's say, 10% more peaceful. So if the world was 10% more peaceful, that would be the size of all foreign direct investment in 2020. And it'd also be the equivalent of adding three new economies to the world, the size of the Denmark, Ireland and Switzerland. So these are staggering amounts. But what's even, I think, more important for your listeners is the very factors which create peaceful societies, and we call that positive peace, but the very factors which create peaceful societies also create the ideal conditions for economies to thrive as well. So we find that countries which are improving in positive peace, on average, or on these factors which create peace, on average have 2% per annum higher GDP growth than countries which are deteriorating on those factors. And so you compound that over 60 years, they're stunning amounts of money.
Well, Steve, thank you so much for taking the time to share all of that with us today. Those are staggering numbers indeed, but it's been absolutely wonderful speaking with you.
Look, I've absolutely enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with Steve Killerley, founder and executive chairman at the Institute for Economics and Peace. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO, available on Google Play or the App Store.